The global cybersecurity market is currently a $107 billion industry. That value expected to jump nearly 10% every year to hit $170 billion by the year 2020. Cybersecurity is a growing priority for agencies across the government as they're wrapping up the 30-day cyber sprint as built out by the Chief Information Officer, Tony Scott. Joe Brennan's Managing Director for the Government Investor Services Team at JLL and joining me today to talk about how current cyber policy and laws that will shape federally leased real estate and the inventory the federal government occupies. Joe, it's great to have you here today. What's the takeaway overall from how all of the changes in cybersecurity, the exponential growth, can impact the way the federal government does business vis-a-vis the space they occupy?
Francis, glad to be here. Thank you. What we see is just this gigantic threat that's out there with cybersecurity. You all spent a lot of time talking about sort of with different elements of the government, where is it going? Where's the threat coming from? The attacks seem to be sort of ongoing. Really, our concern now is how does that affect commercial real estate and how does that affect the Washington market? What we see is the great thing that always seems to move Washington D.C. real estate is when there's a unified threat. The good news is the Republicans are on board, the Democrats are on board, so we see a great direction sort of moving ahead. Now, how do you actually do it? And so that's going to be, I think, the real challenge is you've got a very nimble threat coming from lots of different directions. And to move, I'll call it the battleship of the United States of America, to be able to get that funding in place for planning, agreement on Capitol Hill, buildings built, and turn around and fight it, that's going to be a heck of a challenge that we've got moving forward.
Are there parallels at other times in the federal real estate market, maybe after 2001 and the stand-up of the Homeland Security Department, or other times in our history that we can look at?
Absolutely. That's a great parallel. And you know, the benefits of the Internet certainly was one great push. The challenges certainly after 9/11 was another great push, and sometimes it requires kind of a ground zero event to drive that not only consensus but real growth, and I think your prediction on 10% growth may even be light. I think what we've got is again we can see this giant problem coming. We're working very hard to calculate the size of it, but my sense is it has an impact on individuals all the way up to the largest organizations.
Your company has a look at this, a very in-depth look at this, and mm-hmm. We have a link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth. It's very thoughtful, Joe, and I thank you for coming on to discuss it with me today. Let's look at this from a couple of different perspectives. Let's look at the at this first from the agency perspective,
right.
As in, I've got to figure out where these people are going to sit, or I've got to figure out who the company that I'm hiring, mm-hmm. how they're going to house the people that are going to work for me. What mm-hmm. should I be thinking about if I'm inside an agency and trying to think about that aspect of my cybersecurity buy?
Well, it's counter-cyclical right now to what's going on with the federal government. You've been into this freeze the footprint sort mm-hmm. of austerity sort of mode. And now you've got a new threat that's out there where you need to grow and you need to think. And really what you need to do is you need to hire a different kind of employee. I mean, that's going to be a big challenge. We see discussions happening in Northern California with that crowd, but we also see, frankly, the financial industry, which is a huge leader, and trying to attract some of those employees out of, call it, New York. Mm-hmm. That's going to be challenging, though. Those kinds of employees require more money. They require a very different environment than sort of a Spartan federal workplace. You're competing with Google,
mm-hmm.
So I think that's going to be a great challenge, but we're going to have to meet it.
Is it possible that the kind of the open office and some of the 18Fs of the world and U.S. Digital Services of the world are kind of opening the door for that type of a workplace, and therefore that type of a building being more acceptable in the government space?
Sure, and it's hours of with the hours that you work, and it's going to be a different culture. It's more of that technology culture, we'll watch it moving forward, but absolutely, that's the way they're going to have to go to be able to recruit that kind of talent.
So let's look at it then from the contractor perspective. I imagine that there are at least pockets or segments or units within companies that are already
sure.
operating that way for a lot of the contractors that sell cyber services to the government. So it's not going to be as big of a change for them, I wouldn't think.
I also think that's one of the great opportunities. If, you know, one of the great buzzwords on Capitol Hill is a P3,
mm-hmm.
is this a great opportunity for a public-private partnership? My sense is that expertise lives in the private sector right now, and to be able to meet the challenge right now, I think you're going to need to be able to work very closely with the private sector. So I agree with you.
And then the other perspective I want to look at this from is from the landlord perspective. Mm-hmm. If I own a building and it may not be best suited for this type of expansion and I'm looking for tenants, what should I be thinking about in the next year, 18 months, 2 years?
A big part of that is going to be wear and that infrastructure that already exists in the ground. And we see it certainly in the 28 corridor and out in Reston, certainly up by Fort Meade. That's another sort of opportunity where we'll see the natural sort of growth. But a big part of that is the infrastructure that exists in the ground.
Mm-hmm. Can we expect to see maybe even build to spec for cybersecurity moving forward? I imagine we've seen some of it already.
Absolutely, we have, and obviously not highly publicized, but that's I think is where it's coming. I think the challenge, though, is the how long it takes, particularly if it's directly with the federal government. By the time you're sort of have gone through all of the elements of dealing with the federal government, you could be 5 years down the road between sort of where's the threat and where's your response.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to change. I mean, we've got to be in a spot where we can be more nimble as federal tenants need to be.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I wanted to go next, which
sure.
is as the threat landscape changes, and anybody that I talk to say it's different today than it was a year ago, and it'll be dramatically different a year from now than it is today. Does that have any implications for the environments in which these people are working?
I think it has incredible implications, and back to your, we've seen it once before where we watched Homeland Security. We watched that change and evolve, and continues to change and evolve. We're gonna need to see a different way to budget, a different way to think, and frankly, back to different employees to be able to handle this threat.
Mm-hmm. The part of this that I think is the most interesting is the, mm-hmm. are the potential implications on the bones of the buildings, the guts of the buildings,
sure.
and not just, we talk about maybe a different work environment and all those kinds of things. That's pretty cosmetic. If I own a building, I can make it more friendly to a Silicon Valley type environment.
Sure.
That's not necessarily the case for some of the really hardcore technology infrastructure that's necessary, is it? Or maybe I'm wrong.
No, and I think it's going to be that mix between sort of, anti-terrorism force protection standards, the old sort of military standards that we've seen in some of those buildings. Do you harden the shell? How do you deal with that? I think you've got again the fiber technology that's in the ground around these buildings. And then also the third leg of that stool is making it a great place for some of these, young, talented engineers to work.
What would you like to see GSA or any of the other policymakers that are involved here do to make it easier for agencies to find and get into this kind of space?
We're almost not there yet. I think really where we are is what we've seen are, I'll call them tactical responses. We see a building here, a building there, an effort sort of trying to go, and piecemeal is not the right word. It's right where we are. It's tactical. Now you've got to take a step back and really be strategic about it. I think the GSA needs to be thinking about cybersecurity as a piece of their business and name somebody to run it and put that in place.
In PBS, not in the acquisition side.
In PBS, and I also think on the acquisition side, and I also think sort of inside each of these agencies, it's any one of these agencies is really sort of they're either OPM was the best example where I would say that they would be considered a soft target, but mm-hmm. all of a sudden they were breached, where the Pentagon and some of these other agencies sort of are used to having those sort of attacks every day.